React clearly has seen better days. I mean, not from a usage point of view, it's getting more usage than ever before, of course also because it's the default JavaScript library for AI. Build some project with AI and you'll get React and Next.js. I've talked about this in another episode, but it's seen easier days with less hate and heat. I mean, over the last couple of weeks, we had three major vulnerabilities, one of them being so severe that attackers could execute code on your server if you were affected. By the way, make sure you patch your React applications. If you're using Next.js or some other framework that supports React server components, you're likely affected. But the amount of hate is really a bit staggering to me, because there are things you can criticize, but then there are also some things that are really not that bad that some people make them seem. But let's dive a bit deeper. What are we talking about? It was actually in 2020, so yeah, 5 years ago, almost to the day, 5 years ago, that React Server Components were introduced. What's the idea behind React Server Components? Well, the idea back then, and still today, was and is that you could render React components on the server, but not in the sense of server-side rendering, where you render them initially and then that's it, but instead that you would also render them for page updates. If a user interacts with a page, clicks a link, you would render the new page on the server as well and send that to the client, and also React to a couple of other things. And at the same time, of course, don't just have static HTML, but a single page application, kind of rendered on the server, but then fully interactive on the client. In order to make this work, they had to invent their own protocol, because the idea was not to render HTML and send that HTML, but instead to exchange a payload from server to client and vice versa that does describe the current state of the application, the component tree, and that therefore is more complex than just raw data sent through JSON or raw HTML, because you need both the page structure and the state, the data. So that's React Server Components. Due to this complexity, it took some time for them to take off. Remember, they were initially announced in 2020, and then the first time you could actually really use them was in 2022, so 2 years later, with the release of Next.js 13, which gave us a beta version of the app router, which of course nowadays is the standard router if you're building a new Next.js application. For a very long time, you could actually only use React Server Components in Next.js, and that brought its own problems and some fair share of criticism, because it felt like React was kind of Next.js. There was such a close connection that it didn't really feel like you could reuse React without Next.js, at least if you wanted cutting-edge features like React Server Components. It's also not just React Server Components. We also have like the other side, Server Actions, which in the end allow you to submit a form, and behind the scenes, an HTTP request would be sent to your server, would be handled there, and you would get back an updated payload that updates your React application. So an updated React server component, if you want to call it like this. That's in a nutshell how it works. And therefore, of course, we kind of blend backend and frontend code, server-side and client-side code, because you have React on both ends, and there is this magic going on where you have components being rendered on the server, this special kind of payloads being sent back and forth, server actions, and of course the vulnerabilities I talked about, these are related to React Server Components, specifically to that protocol, the React Flight Protocol, as it's called, that's being used for communicating between client and server. However, what's really important is that it's not per se that blending of client-side and server-side code that's a problem here, only indirectly, if you will, because of course that protocol was invented to be able to blend these two ends. But when it comes to being able to fetch some data on the server and then render a dynamic page based on that, that's in the end how PHP always worked, right? So back when we built very primitive, simple PHP apps, you could reach out to a database and then send back some HTML code based on that. And now with React and React Server components, it's kind of the same. You have that mixture of client-side and server-side. But of course, it's a bit more than that, because unlike PHP, with React, the idea is that you have a fully interactive client-side application powered by JavaScript. And that's why this extra protocol was invented, because it doesn't stop after this initial transfer from server to client. But from time to time, I see this image pop up, which is from an early presentation of React Server Components, and I believe its support in Next.js. And this slide is often used by people to criticize React and how insecure it is. And I want to be very clear, and you probably heard it before, nothing about this code on this slide is insecure. This SQL statement runs on the server, and no, there is no SQL injection going on here. This SQL tag literal here make sure that all the input is sanitized. So this is secure, even though it might look a bit weird and it might look like we're reaching out to some SQL database in our React component. We're not actually doing that. This is a server action step which is triggered on the server. But of course, the magic is that this function, this server action, is invoked on your behalf invisibly behind the scenes, because there is an HTTP request sent to the server to then, well, invoke the code there. And that again is using that special payload, the React Flight Protocol. With all that out of the way, what I will say though is that with all these features, with React Server Components and Server Actions, and with that client and server side mixture that's going on here, React has gotten more complex. And especially for less experienced developers, it can definitely be harder to tell which code runs where. Now, I will say you will get errors if you put code that can only run on the server into your client-side code, or vice versa. You can't really mess this up, at least not that easily, I'd say. But of course, I understand that this can be confusing. It's definitely an easier mental model if you have an API, a REST API, a GraphQL API, whatever, which is a standalone application, and then you have your detached client-side single-page application, and they communicate through HTTP requests, which you explicitly send with help of the Fetch API or with help of a library like React Query. This is definitely the easier mental model. But there is a reason why React Server Components were invented, if you want to call it like this. They were invented because, of course, with that other mental model, with that other approach, you always had two applications. You had your backend server, you had your client-side server or application. That, I would say, gets a bit easier with React Server Components because you have just one full stack application here. Kind of the idea behind Next.js even before React Server Components. Next.js kind of made sure that this API plus single page application, that this thing was wired up properly and you could deploy it as one application even before React Server Components. But that shows us that there was this need, this demand for having full stack applications that kind of blend both, because that is what Next.js did even before React Server Components. Because even before that, you had special functions where you would put your code that would be fetched to pre-populate your server-side rendered components on the server. We had that before React Server Components. React Server Components came because there was a need for this kind of application. If you don't like them, if you don't want them, and there are good reasons for that, if you don't like that mental model of blending server and client-side code somehow, you don't have to. You can still build your standalone single-page applications with React, with any router or any libraries of your choice. Could be React router, could be TanStack router, could be Next.js, but that doesn't really make sense because Next.js is really more of a full stack framework. And then you can have your detached API, your REST API, your GraphQL API, whatever it is. You can still do that if that makes more sense for you, if you prefer this approach. And I will agree that React got more complex over all these years with Suspense, React Server Components, Server Actions, all the optimization hooks that exist in there, the React compiler, which is there to make optimizing simpler again, that can all feel very overwhelming. I mean, I remember a time where React was pretty straightforward. You had your class-based components for stateful components, your function components for stateless. There were no hooks. It was relatively easy and simple. You had other problems back then, for example, that you had to switch between class-based and functional components. You had to rewrite and refactor your components if you suddenly needed state, so that was also not great. But yeah, it was probably a simpler mental model. I totally get this point, and it is fair to criticize this. It's also important to point out, though, there are alternatives. Of course, you might not have them if you're in a company that uses React, like many companies probably do, but if you're not, you got alternatives. If you are somewhere where you're forced to use React, it's probably worth noting that despite all this complexity, and again, there are good reasons why things got more complex, React typically does still save you lots of headaches because it is built to do many optimizations for you. Some complexity comes out of that urge to optimize stuff for you or to load and render parts of the page efficiently. And these are ultimately benefits you get out of React or out of using React, at least potentially. Nonetheless, there definitely are things to criticize about React, and I too hope that we won't see more and more and more complexity being layered on top of React. But at the same time, all these discussions about how insecure it is because it blends client server-side code like this, I really can't hear them anymore. Because, in my opinion, that is not really the main problem here, and it's definitely not the root of these vulnerabilities.